I want to welcome Agile XRM to the podcast. I've known the people at Agile XRM for the past 12 years. I've seen how their business process management tool can add massive value to complex organizational processes in sectors such as finance and government. If you have complex processes or a need for dialogues on the Power Platform or Dynamics 365, take a look at how this BPM tool can add value. You can find them at agilexrm.com or check out the show notes for more details. Welcome to the MVP Show. My intention is that you listen to the stories of these MVP guests and are inspired to become an MVP and bring value to the world through your skills. If you have not checked it out already, I do a YouTube series called How to Become an MVP. The link is in the show notes. With that, let's get on with the show. Today's guest is from England in the United Kingdom. He works as a Power Platform Solution Architect. He was first awarded as MVP in 2019. He's an accountant by trade, originally that turned into a developer. He's a co-founder of the Power Apps for Kids .com. So check out that website. By the way, I'll place in the show notes links to his bio, LinkedIn, Twitter, any kind of resources that he has, because he's got some amazing courses, which I'm sure we're going to discuss this morning on the show. Welcome to the show, Rory.
Hi there. Thanks so much for having me on the show, Mark. It's really great to hear you and see you as I can here.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, I think I first met you was in the Netherlands. Does that sound right? Did you go and do that Netherlands conference?
Oh, that was brilliant, wasn't it? Yeah, it was really good fun, that one. I also remember meeting you in a bar that was like kind of underground in after one of the hacks in London as well. But I think it was just before you were going back to New Zealand.
Yeah, that could be right.
It was all pre-COVID, wasn't it? We haven't got back to that since, really, have we? The regular nature of our ability to meet up, which is a shame, particularly in the UK, because it's easy to get into London and so on, but the events haven't kicked off really in the same way as they did in the past. But I think that they will come back, but perhaps not quite the same way.
You know, we're recording today post the Queen's death, and being somebody that's living in the UK, what's that all meant for you there?
That's a very good point. I would say that when I was in my student days, I would have been saying not really interested and didn't see the point of the royal family. Whereas I found it absolutely fascinating, and how she as an individual could have kept going for so many years, and you'd almost say she didn't put a foot wrong. She was, everyone had their own special relationship with the Queen, and I'm sure, and she was special to the people in Scotland and all over the British Isles. So I think she was a truly unique individual, the like of which will probably never be seen again. She was 21 when she was it. Oh, she was certainly very young when she became Queen, and obviously went on for, you know, for many years, you know, for longer than many people, you know. It's the only queen anyone's known. And yeah, and it was, I was fascinated by all of the parades and so on. It's not something that you would see very often. So yeah, and I think that it wasn't just us. I think that it was a worldwide thing. I'm not trying to big it up as in that way. I just think that it was quite unique. And maybe we all saw it that way.
Yeah. I just had a chance this morning to jump on YouTube when I get up because I try to look at the live feeds and stuff, and the procession was going between Westminster and Windsor, and they were approaching the Wellington Arch. And, you know, after spending time in London and living there, and for me it's just been fascinating seeing those areas that I, you know, why the Wellington Arch is significant to New Zealand is to if you're looking from behind the Wellington Arch down towards the castle, on the left is the New Zealand Monument. And it was all in the shot for so much of the time this morning. Now, a lot of people wouldn't know that unless they had been there and know that the specific piece of, you know, art installation or, you know, monument that's there is relationship to New Zealand. But it's, you know, been in the Commonwealth, and I know I'm in a colonized country, and there's a whole discussion around that. She was an incredible lady that I think had an amazing impact. So, yeah, I definitely have found it intriguing watching the unfolding of the last 10 days.
Absolutely. And who knows what is to come in the future. We'll only know. A lot of that will be defined by, you know, how Charles wants to take it. And I suspect there will be also some kind of reevaluation of that in the, you know, in the in this century, in these next sort of 10 years or so.
Totally. I find it interesting. A lot of people, you know, were like, oh, the royalty don't pay tax and things like this. And I remember actually being just inside Hyde Park from the Wellington Arch there when I researched this. You know, I was on a walk there one day, and I researched the impact on the royal family to the United Kingdom. And from how much revenue the royal family bring into the United Kingdom outside the royal family, it's much more than any tax rate that I think that could be, you know, put on them. And so I think some people take these one, they look at the elephant, if you like, from the tail, you know, they're holding the tail, and this is the whole monarchy, and they fail often to see it's a multifaceted thing, and it has impact that is far reaching on the British economy, that is much more than just tax. So yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, and I guess we could debate that one, you know, for a long time, really, couldn't we? You know, from my side, I actually spent I worked in the Houses of Parliament for the Parliamentary Digital Service for, you know, nearly a year, and so where she was laid, you know, in state, where all the visitors were going through, that was just a place you could just walk through. It was just a normal place, and it was fascinating to think that that was actually quite historic. It was historical before then, and clearly even more historical now and in the future.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. Anyhow, let's get on to your story, and, you know, your journey to be an MVP. Tell us about Rory, you know, where you reside in the UK, family, food, fun, all the things that are in your life outside the Power platform.
Okay, family. So I've got two children and a wife. We live in Buckinghamshire, which down in the south of Buckinghamshire, so not too far from Oxford in the UK. Although, to be fair, we'd probably more point towards London if you went for your days out and so on. My son's massively into football. He's a goalkeeper. He absolutely loves it. And my daughter is very different. She is into digital art, concept art. And she's just gone to university to study comic and concept art, wow, you know, I'm hoping that she'll have an absolute super time. And you know, I did business economics and French, so, you know, there was, you know, it's not really a wow, is it? It's like, oh yeah, French, well, that would be the French bit, and business economics, well, it's business economics, isn't it? I kind of hope that that she has a great time. Dropped her down at the weekend, so it's quite fresh in the memory. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So it's just so it's definitely a new family life, if you like, now. On the fun side, you know, me and my son, we go mountain biking. I took up climbing recently. So I got a membership at a climbing wall, and which means I can head off up there. And it's quite interesting. I would kind of call it, I did some presentations at the Scottish Summit on mental health and so on. And I kind of, I thought that it would be interesting to do the climbing because, well, there's not a lot, you can't really stress too much about life when you're halfway up a wall. It's problem solving and so on, but it's a different type of thing. It's very different to that world that we live in where we're visualizing things and so on. So I kind of thought, well, maybe that'll be interesting to try it out and so on. And yeah, I was down there this evening. I know it's morning for you, but I was down there this evening attempting to scale a wall and so on. But it was interesting. Yeah, and the mountain biking's fun. And we've got a little dog, and we take him out for walks because, you know, when you're a Cocker Spaniel, there's balls, there's food, and there's walking. And there's probably a bit of lying down and sleeping. But that's pretty well it all, where it shakes out for him anyway.
Nice. What was your first exposure to power? I assume it was in Power BI, based on a little bit of research that I've done, but I could be wrong. What was your first power tool that you picked up? And I'm meaning, of course, the Microsoft Power tool set. And how did that journey into this world of Power Platform happen for you?
Well, my first power tool was, in fact, part of Excel. And there must be an awful lot of people that don't know that within Excel, you have, under the data tab, you have Power Query. I mean, quite often it doesn't get called Power Query. It's just kind of data, get data. And you've got this amazing tool for transforming data. And when I was, just call it finishing up as an accountant, I had a project where I needed to do an awful lot of data transformation because we were moving from one system to another, and there were essentially hundreds of thousands of records that needed to be moved around and reshaped and so on, so that they could then be effectively imported into a new system. And at the time, the only thing that I had available to me was Power Query. And I just bombed out of accountancy. I thought, just, I've had enough. I'd done so many sets of accounts and so on, and it was just becoming more of the same and more years of the same. So I just handed my notice in. I said, I'm not doing this anymore. And I didn't think I'd touch another number ever again. And, you know, in the space that was created by that, I then discovered Power BI. And the cool thing with Power BI was that I already knew half of it. I already knew the Power Query bit, but I thought, oh my goodness, I can like do stuff in this thing. And whereas I never created a graphic in Excel virtually ever, in Power BI, honestly, it's just mad. In Excel, they're just weird looking. They just don't make any sense to me. They have series and all this sort of stuff. And I didn't create many at all. Whereas in Power BI, they're fantastic, you know, just very, very easy to work with. And at the time, which was in something like 2016, when I was doing Power BI, now bear in mind, there's been a monthly update every month virtually since then. Can you imagine what Power BI was like then? No buttons, no navigation, no row level security. So many things have come since then. So that was my first, that was the first tool that I used. I started playing around with Power BI and goofing around with it. And then I started creating little videos about it, partly to remember what I'd learned, as anything else, really. And I found you could put it onto YouTube and occasionally people would watch it. And so that was my entry into that world.
Wow. Wow. And so you've got quite a robust YouTube channel, and I see, obviously, you do training, right? I see you're a Microsoft certified trainer. Tell us a bit about the courses you've written specifically on Power Apps.
Well, yeah, I mean, if this journey into Power BI and then Power BI that led into Office 365 and Office 365 led into Power Apps. And as an accountant, I remember creating an app from SharePoint. You've got this one-click app you can create. I absolutely love them. And they are still as bad as they ever were. But they are still really, really cool as a thing that you can create that will actually work on your phone. They're absolutely amazing. Now, I actually suffer from generalized anxiety disorder. So I have very, very bad sleep. And at the same time, I need to learn so much. I need to learn just that the learning goes on every day. You know, every day you find out something new. Oh, I didn't know that. And what I found when I looked on the internet, I found that if you look at some of the awesome YouTubers out there, they are awesome. Each individual is fantastic. Each individual video is fantastic. But what they didn't do for me was they didn't have structure. They didn't exist as part of an organized whole that maybe me with my accountant head hat on, I needed that. I just wanted to create something that had structure. And so what I started to do, I spoke to Megan Walker and Scott Giroux, and I said, I knew they had courses themselves. I said, well, what do you use? And they use this platform called Zendler. And I looked at the platform and I saw it's pretty cool, actually. You can create courses with modules and you can have different types of content within there. And in my case, I just wanted to create quite a lot of videos, but organize them as a structured whole. So what I did was I spent about 6 weeks just working out what the content would be. And I thought it was going to run to about 240 lessons of videos. And I thought that was quite a lot, isn't it? You know, and so I wrote an app. I wrote an app that essentially mimicked PowerPoint, but for me was better than PowerPoint because, like, for example, I could literally go to any lesson in the course and I could run through it. And I would say to anyone that had created 300 lessons and they had done it in PowerPoint, there's no way you can create that many lessons. And bear in mind that I only use one slide, and so it's all sitting in Dataverse, and so all I do is I navigate to the lesson and then I roll through the lesson, the introduction, and then the rest is demo. And so actually the course now runs to over 300 lessons. It's got, you know, it's got things that people need to know about, like design. You need to know about that. There's things, there's a whole chapter on Dataverse. I know there's plenty of courses with Dataverse in them. There's a chapter on filtering because you need to know about how to filter things. If you can't filter things, you're dead, you know. And there's things, and there's a chapter on patch because, and one on Gestalt principles. So how we see, as humans, see the world. I mean, look it up. People don't know about what Gestalt principles are, but they are the coolest thing ever. They're the reason why you can pick up an app and know how it works, because you know how the objects relate to each other and how the proximity of the objects and the size of the objects and the shape of the objects, they're telling you something the whole time. And there's a little lesson on that, because as designers, we need to know these sorts of things so that we've got a fighting chance of being able to deliver something a little bit better. And certainly as a guy, you know, a lot of guys think, well, it works, doesn't it? And then go over to you. And of course, the modeler and app world, you don't really have much control over the design, which is great because you don't have any control over the design, so you can't be accused of one way or another. But as soon as you walk into the Canvas app world, you've got total control, in which case, you know, in which case you need these extra things to tell you. And I could talk to you about Gestalt principles for a long time. And so actually, funnily enough, one of the courses that I've written two courses. So there's a big course, which has got over 300 lessons. It is quite detailed and hard work to get through, if I'm brutally honest.
How many hours? How many hours is that all up to do it?
It's probably somewhere between 42 and 45 hours.
So if you were to go through it, do the labs, all that kind of stuff. Okay, that's good. That's good. Because that's a meaty, you know, somebody starts that and finishes it, they're going to know some stuff, right, by the end of it, which is, I feel that there's so many courses that are, hour and a half, you know, an hour long. I see on Microsoft Learn, so many courses are 30 minutes. And what the title says is that you're kind of like a guru at the end of that 30 minutes. And I'm like, yeah, you're going to learn nothing in 30 minutes, you know, if you've got some practice in there and stuff as well.
It's a tough road in terms of getting from not knowing things to knowing something. And actually, most recently, I created a new course, which I think is really cool, which was, I can't remember the name of it now. It's Tips and Tricks for Power Automate, Tips, Tricks and Game Changers for Power Automate and Power Apps. And what it is, it's a course. Can you just imagine those things that you learned that were massive game changers where you thought, oh my goodness, I cannot believe I didn't know this. And there are certainly, you know, in terms of Canvas apps, there's plenty of those things like using Patch. You know, I avoided Patch for a long, long time. But if you don't use Patch, you can't actually arrange your app visually so that you can use principles, design principles that will make your app possible to be used without instruction, because nobody's going to read them anyway. And there's things like in Power Automate, you know, I understand in JSON. No one will ever, which, you know, tell me about the Microsoft Learn course that tells you about JSON structures and so on. And yet you're going to do Power Automate. You're going to see them in your environment variables. You can see them in when you do your patch statements. It's a form of JSON. And actually, some of these things are game changers, and they're things that you might take 3 or 4 years to find out, and then just feel so silly that you didn't know it. So I wrote another one. So this course has got, it's got about 30 lessons, but they are tiny. They're like, hey, do you know about this? Hey, join the community. Because I tell you what, you and I know that those people that become really successful, very few of them are not connected to the community in some way. And so it's just a little pointer to say, go and join a user group. You know, talk to people. You know, go onto Twitter. You know, follow people. So that was my most recent offering. Was this Tips, Tricks, and Game Changers course?
I like it. We're already well over time. No, this is good because this is good meaty stuff. And I think that those listening to the show, you know, we're going to make sure we put in the show notes links to these courses, because as I say, we live in a world of information overload and bite size everything, but there's something to be said about structured learning to get the full body of knowledge. And I feel even back when I started my MCT about 15 years ago as a certified trainer, Microsoft had these full-on in-depth courses, and then we've moved to a world of everything's bite-sized, and with everything being bite-sized, there is no structure, and people are struggling to find out, yeah, but if I learn that, then what's my next step to learn? What's my next step? How do I get from A to B from a knowledge point of view? that if I apply myself and do the time and do and educate, that I'm actually going to be way farther ahead down the right track. Because that's the other thing. I was presenting in Western Australia earlier this week to a team of folks on a project, and they wanted to go deep in field service. And they go to Microsoft Learn, and there's kind of like 50 different paths that you can take on anything. And it's like when you don't know and you just need, you've got 6 months to get up to speed because you're going to be working on a project. You want to know that if you follow this path, you're going to be up to speed in 6 months' time, not gone down a rabbit hole that you've of self-discovery of, oh, shit, I should have gone down that path over there, but I took 6 months to find that out. And so I think that a course like what you've described there is absolutely critically important to people that are committing their careers to things like the Power Platform, Power Apps, Power Automate, Power BI, that type of thing, because you want to know that you know your stuff, right, from a skill perspective.
Without a doubt. I'd say that the course was 50% for me and 50% for anyone who wanted to consume it, but I did spend a ridiculous amount of time creating it, which... You know how hard it is to create content, and you know even things that where you know I actually describe each of the objects and so on. You know, some of them I don't really use that much, but I thought, well, you know, can't really not tell them about it. But you know, and I sort of mark them up with like little dots to say how important that lesson was, because some of them you can take it or leave it, but some of them, like, do you know what? If you don't do this, it's going to be a problem for you at some point in the future, even if you just, hey, just have an overview of the thing. It's been my Mount Everest, without a doubt. It's, you know, the last module on Dataverse took me 4 months to complete, but that was because I changed jobs and I had a bit of writer's block as well, you know. And when I originally did it, it was called Common Data Service. And every time I looked at the course, I thought, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. This is really bad. And I've just got to do this. But of course, Dataverse, where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line on a course and a Canvas Apps course which uses Dataverse? Because what you don't tell them is as important as what you do tell them. So I've made my own judgment call as to what to leave out based on what I know. And I guess people just have to trust me on that. I think from my side, I'm gonna give you a code, NZ365 guy. And then that will give people a discount for the course. So maybe we'll do a little fun thing for the first three people and give them a 100% pass or something like that. So I think that'll be a bit fun.
Hey, thanks for listening. I'm your host, Business Application MVP Mark Smith, otherwise known as the NZ365 guy. If you like the show and want to be a supporter, check out buymeacoffee.com/NZ365 guy. Thanks again, and see you next time.